straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 162, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our good friends at Bud Light. My name is Cedric Golden. I'm joined by Kirk Bowles, a.k.a. The Duck. And, Duck, let's just get right to it, sir. We'll talk Texas football a little later, but we've got a broadcasting legend on the line.
You are looking live at Ohio Stadium in Columbus, Ohio.
You are looking live at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. You are looking live at the Los Angeles Coliseum. You are looking live at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. You are looking live at a sold-out Memorial Stadium in Columbia. You are looking live in the Cavern of Hudson Stadium in Eugene, Oregon. You are looking live at Arizona Stadium in Tucson. You are looking live at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. You are looking live at the University of Phoenix Stadium.
Mr. Brent Musburger, 50 years plus in the broadcasting business. He is the host of My Guys in the Desert on Sirius Satellite Radio and the managing editor of Vegas Stats and Information Network. Brent, how are you today, sir?
Hey, Cedric, I am fine. Great to be speaking with you and my man, Mr. Bowles, down there, Texas way.
How is the man? Guy, we missed talking to you. How's it going since you left us all?
Yeah, you know, the betting business just keeps growing, you may have noticed.
Shocking.
In fact, you know, one of the questions I get asked, so I'm going to throw you guys a question.
Okay.
And you can update. I keep getting that. We have a lot of folks from Texas, as you can imagine, who come through Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And I get asked, not only by them, but from others around the country, will Texas ever make it legal to bet on sporting events mm-hmm. in the great state? Your feeling down there, guys, and we'll start with that.
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Bible Belt, brutal. Brutal Bible Belt.
Republican state.
I'm a church-going Christian, but this part of the country, they just frown for some reason on things like that. I'm going to tell you, Brent, I know that you've been in a casino or two in your day, and I've been in several. Texas people from Dallas and Houston, they spend more money in casinos that are located in Louisiana and Oklahoma. But they refuse to open casinos in Texas. Billions of dollars flowing out of our state.
It's a wink, wink.
Every year.
It's a wink,
going
wink.
Going to other states, and while our politicians just turn their nose at the thought of keeping all of that money in our state. I just think it's a joke.
They will not be at the front, as we all know, Brent. So I think it'll happen someday. It is a pro-business state as well as a Republican state, but I don't know what your view is. It's coming, and I don't know how many states have approved sports betting. It's double digits, isn't it?
It's 13, I think.
Yeah, I think it just reached 13.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me that the states that have been the most reluctant
mm-hmm.
are some of the most populous. I mean, we've got the state of New York, Illinois, California.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the California, as you know, in several states, California certainly, there are Indian casinos scattered throughout the state. They're very, very strong politically. When I lived in Florida, there's no smarter Indian nation that I've ever been around than the Seminole tribe. Florida State, we went through that period where Indian nicknames were verboten in many schools, Miami of Ohio, Stanford, of course,
right.
Changed their nicknames. The Seminoles took a little bit of a different approach. They said, yeah, okay. You can use our name, but we want to be paid every year.
Yeah.
So smart.
And that shows you how intelligent they yeah. are in terms of business.
Good
business.
They run
the casino industry down there. And one of the things that they demanded, you might not know this, but the Seminoles were the only tribe that did not surrender during the American Indian War period. So they claim that they are unconquered. And that's why that big statue is out in front of the stadium in Tallahassee, where Florida State plays. Having lived there, I really began and learned how to appreciate what very, very smart business people they are down there that control the casino industry. So if you want to go in with sports wagering in Florida, you're going to go through the Indians. And in California, the same thing exists. They run the casino business in there. They would love to have sports wagering. Illinois, of course, they probably demand that the current governor, whoever it might be, get paid off every week, because I think we've got more governors in prison in Illinois than he stated history. But regardless, Nevada just keeps hoping that California never legalizes it.
Oh, sure.
That's where much of the drive-in business comes from. But New Jersey is kind of filling the Texas politicians. All they have to do is take a look at the gross betting amount that's going on in New Jersey. And down in Texas, I dare say there are probably a lot of people who still gamble offshore. And again, you've got that money leaving the state of Texas, and it doesn't make economic sense because, you know, business, you guys mentioned it, businessmen in Texas are powerful, strong, know how to get it done. And I would think that they'd make some movement toward legalizing it. But I understand, because when I used to drive occasionally, I'd go down and watch the Longhorns practice, and I'd drive up Oklahoma way. I'd go across the border, and I'd say, oh, my goodness, look at the size of that casino. I just crossed the border.
All on the border, all on the other side of the border.
And, Brent, if you ask, the 90% of the people in that casino are from Dallas. They just are.
I bet.
Same for Shreveport, right?
Yeah, 90% of the Shreveport people are from East Texas. That's exactly right.
Yeah, it just makes no sense. And we're still very early in this. I do think Texas will be one of the last one. But I'm wondering if you've seen it or felt it. Is it changing sports and sports betting, you know, nationally, the trends, Brent, now that some states are approving it?
Yeah, you know, I tell you, Kirk, what I do see is when I'm watching ESPN, even with the sound down in the casino,
right?
I see a lot more references to the spreads. And in the pregame show on Saturday for college football, mm-hmm. they put the spreads up a lot more. Now, it was always a point of interest,
right?
Whether people gamble or not. I think that when Texas plays Texas Tech or whomever, whether it's basketball or football, doesn't matter. People are interested in, who do these pros, who do they favor? Who's the favorite in this game? So I always thought it was an interesting, I think, from the standpoint of the leagues doing business with casinos, the NFL has already entered into an agreement with Caesars. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we had an NFL player who really captured the word stupidity last week.
In Arizona, right.
We will get into the details of that. It's just more out in the open. I don't mm-hmm. think it's changed the games themselves much. You know, I think that still goes on. But certainly, you know, I was used to be one of those guys who would slip in references and people occasionally I'd get a call from an executive about this or that. But now more and more guys are open to do it. Now, I know CBS did tell their football announcers before the start of the season that they could not mention it during the game. I do know that went down. I don't know for sure about Fox.
Okay.
No one's told me about their priest, but I know CBS, it's verboten. And last year, in the build-up to the Super Bowl, they made it verboten. And I went off on them and said it should have been part of the pregame show. First time the state of New Jersey's been able to do it. You should have had a CBS News reporter over there showing the crowds at the Meadowlands and things like that, because it became a news story. So, you know, I suppose certainly more people have slipped in. The big fear that I've always had is that people think this is easy, winning money, big money on betting football. It's not. These are tough numbers. These are guys who know what they're doing. That's why you don't see the sports book getting any smaller and smaller. And we are going to have more problem gamblers. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's, mm-hmm. it's a bad addiction,
right?
Because you hurt your entire family and things. So it's something that you have to be aware of the problems, and you need to address it going along. But the young man who was suspended from the Arizona Cardinals,
right,
former defensive back from USC, wandered into Caesars, made a halftime bet, which immediately tells me that's not his first rodeo, okay?
Might be making a halftime bet, right.
No. And not when you parlay.
Yeah.
You know, the amateur tourist who wanders in and is a little bit baffled by the electronic boards that we have, he'll bet his or her favorite game, have a little fun, and that's how you wander in. But then he wanted the app, Okay, which means he comes in and out of Nevada because you can't use our apps anywhere outside of the state of Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And I have several apps on my phone that I use here in Nevada, and I filled out applications. And down at the bottom, before you sign it, it says occupation. And this young man wrote down professional football player.
Oh,
that's the height of stupidity.
Oh,
in other words, is he the first pro football player who's coming here? No, absolutely, positively not. Nor will he be the last. But what you do is you sit there with your cousin or your girlfriend or your somebody and say, hey, listen, go up and make this bet. It's for you.
Yeah.
You know, tip me if we win it.
Sure.
And life goes on.
Yeah.
They understand that you don't write down on an application professional football player. So the Caesars, whoever got that across, did exactly what he or she should do. You got to pass it along to your superior and say, listen, I don't know this individual, but this is what he wrote down. Maybe we should check this. And they turned him into the league, and the rest is a suspension.
Do you think other players actively bet?
Absolutely. Now,
not using their name, though. Well, I wonder what percentage.
Oh, God, huge.
Well, let's say 1%. Let's just throw 1% out,
okay.
And that would be a small.
Okay.
Because maybe they themselves don't actually bet.
Sure.
They might tell their grandpa,
right,
who's been a great friend of theirs, who's traveling up to Nevada.
Right.
Hey, listen, I really think the Eagles can handle the Giants this week.
Right.
Eli Manning's coming back.
It's
a bad record, which happens to be the truth, by the way. Eli is going to quarterback the Giants this week, and he has a terrible record recently against the Eagles.
Right.
And that's the kind of stuff we keep track of, you know.
My guy's
in the desert, you know.
That's why you stay
put. I don't think you have to worry about games being fixed. Now, I got to hesitate because we've had an NBA referee
here
in the last decade who walked through over-unders and got himself into the jam and things like that.
I think
you have to be careful.
Yeah,
it's not legal. As far as I know, they haven't changed the rule regarding NFL officials. They cannot come into the state of Nevada during the season. Now, obviously, that has to change.
They're fixing to.
Yeah.
So, does that start next year?
I have to keep an eye.
Are they in Oakland? Go to Vegas next year?
Next year I'm looking out my window right now.
Yeah.
They're slowed down a little bit. We got a little rain here, but the stadium is due to be completed by the end of July. The keys are supposed to be turned over to the Raiders.
Okay.
And Mark Davis, the owner, wants to have 2 preseason games in August there. And then, of course, the season starts in September, and they have a regular home schedule. Now, I have visited the new stadium under construction. They're on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They have 2 shifts. They're not working through the night. They have not incurred the same problems that the Rams and the Chargers, the overcharges. Now, this stadium here in Las Vegas was originally built at about $1.8 billion, let's say that. It's
going
to cap at right around $2 billion. The state put up $750 million through a bed tax. The Raiders and the NFL put up the rest for the stadium. Now, so $2 billion, yes, that sounds like a lot, but the one in Southern California is going to top around $5 billion with all kinds of debt over there.
Wow.
They've run into all kinds of problems over in Southern California. So,
well,
we shall see what happens.
It's going to be fascinating. Let's get into the Raiders a little bit. You're the play-by-play voice of the Raiders.
Sure.
They've had just a wild ride, Hard Knocks, Antonio Brown. Where would you start to summarize this season, Brent?
Well, I think we should start with John Gruden, who said, I have a bias because he's a dear friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to him regularly, and he is a TV star.
No question.
Hard Knocks was between him and Antonio Brown. It was must see.
Didn't need anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. You just need those two. Just turn them loose. Knock on wood. If you're with me, and forward we go. Now, the draft was good. There's still a possibility that they overdrafted Clee Ferrell from Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's spelled Ferrell, but he likes it pronounced Ferrell.
Okay.
F-U-R-L,
yeah, people are surprised you went that early.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and I think that those who said that immediately could be correct. He's a nice defensive end, but he's not a difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
And when you draft in the top 10, you've got to find difference makers.
Got to hit.
Now, the big selection was Josh Jacobs, a running back from Alabama.
Sure.
Wonderful.
He's been a star. He's carried the team. And that was the pick. The first number one that they got for Khalil Mack, that was a Chicago Bears pick. So that's working out very well for them.
Yeah.
So we go forward. They come to the training camp in Napa, a lot of enthusiasm, and play a couple games at home, win the opener against the Broncos, lose in unbelievable fashion to Patrick Mahomes, who went off 273 yards in the second quarter. So immediately the warning lights go up. This secondary might not be too good. And so that has proved to be the case. And then they went on their worldwide tour away from Oakland for 6 weeks, which included a road trip to London, where they picked off the Bears over there. And then they beat Indianapolis on the week before. So suddenly the team, which had a season total one-loss record here in Nevada of 6, was on a roll. Mm-hmm. And then they won 3 at home and said, okay, this is it. We're going to make the playoffs. This is a great young team and blah, blah, blah. So we go to New York and the wheels come off. And the Jets and Sam Darnold took them apart. And then last week go to Kansas City where they never win.
Yep.
Never win. And same thing happened. So they're at level 6-6 right now. Need one more win to go over their win total. And they've got a big game with Tennessee. The Titans, since they switched to Ryan Tannehill.
Huge game. Well, huge game.
I would say in conclusion that the Raiders are right where you probably figured they would be coming to Nevada, a rebuilding young team. They've got 2 first-round draft choices, theirs and the Bears, coming up next year. I do not believe this is a team that will make the playoffs. I don't think they're that good yet.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little bit of a question. Derek Carr and John Gruden have gotten on very well. And until the last 2 weeks, I would have told you, 3 weeks ago, I would have said, Derek Carr is the Raiders' quarterback going forward. Now I got to put the brakes on that a little bit because he simply does not play well when the temperature is down.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Del Rio sent that out last week from ESPN. He was accurate.
Right.
2 huge interceptions in this game. And there's a lot of quarterbacks. Joe Burrow at LSU is going to be number one. I don't think there's any question about that going forward. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there, and maybe it's time to take a youngster and start to mold him. And if you want Derek Carr to be your starter here and then bring a youngster along, so be it. We shall see. So I would say they're about right where they should
be. Yeah, okay? Not that far off.
Yep.
Yeah, Brent, when they've won games and I've watched Gruden and the black hole loves him. I mean, you see the love from the fans to the coach. Is it going to be tough for a lot of these fans? I know it will be to let go. And how many do you think can afford to go to Vegas 3 or 4 times a year to see their beloved Raiders?
That's the saddest part of this move. This new stadium is not a black hole stadium. This is
a palace,
a fancy luxury suite. It's built along the lines of the stadium in Minneapolis. It's going to have a dome on it. It's going to be fiercely loud at times, but again, most of the fans in Las Vegas, they will have to adopt the Raiders. They came here as Cowboy fans, Texans fans, Saints fans, Bear fans, Giant fans, Ram fans. A lot of them retired here in this particular area.
It's a melting
pot. Younger generation, they will grow up Raider fans because it'll be their team that they will know now.
Yeah.
To your question, there are, believe it or not, If the Raiders had gone to Los Angeles instead of the Chargers, they would be the people's choice in Southern California. Back in the 80s, when Al Davis took the team down to Los Angeles and then won Super Bowls down there as the Los Angeles Raiders, they have an enormous fan base in Southern California. And I believe that Stan Kroenke did not want the Raiders coming back.
Well, I'm
and
sure
that's why he brought
didn't.
The charge
right.
and embraced them. So we will have an enormous fan base come in from Southern California. It's much easier to get to Las Vegas than it is Oakland.
3 hours.
Yeah. That's
yeah. If I had to go to a percentage of that black hole crowd, I'd drop it down around 10 or 15% will be able to come in here. Tickets have been sold out. I bought a couple of season tickets myself before I even became the voice of the Raiders, and the personal seat licenses were very expensive, and I'm not sure that crowd of loyal followers will be able, maybe they can come once a year, buy tickets on the aftermarket. I've watched what the Golden Knights have done and done in here with the hockey franchise.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do very, very well economically. They're at the bottom of the ladder up in Oakland, and they're going to soar near the top with cash flow here in Southern Nevada. They're going to be loved. It's a huge, huge move for this community. We were always an outlaw community. This is where you go for the forbidden fruit. Yes, the National Hockey League has been in here, but it's not like the National Football League. When you identify Las Vegas as an NFL city, that changes things.
That's mainstream, mainstream. Absolutely.
Yep.
Hey, before we leave the Raiders, Antonio Brown, two questions. One, is he crazy? Two, what are the odds he plays again in the NFL?
I'm going to say yes, he's crazy, and the odds are 100% he'll play again in the NFL at some point in his crazy life. Now, you know what? Listen, I'm not a psychiatrist, so I can't wander in on what goes on. But first of all, his agents and his friends should have said, you will not ever Twitter again. Just get off it.
Or text.
What you you do is you're just hurting yourself.
Exactly.
And you're a Hall of Fame receiver. You need to be back in the NFL. I know that Derek Carr spent a lot of time with him in the summer, and Derek's a very likable guy, very easy to get along with. And Derek liked him.
Yeah.
He enjoyed being with him, practiced with him in a park. The facility was not open under the current players' agreement. I think that he adores the limelight.
He does.
And that's not necessarily a good thing. And also his agents, as I understand it, they didn't tell the Patriots that there's another suit coming forward with an ex-employee. And that shocked the ownership. And then when he sent out that crazed tweet, he was gone. Now, stay tuned, because the Patriots are an organization that might double back and say, hey, listen, he's found the Lord, and he's changed his ways, and we believe in him because they could really use him going forward. I believe that.
They for sure do. Well, let's move on to the college a little bit. Conference championship games this Saturday. Huge odds. I mean, Clemson's, what, 4-touchdown favorite over Virginia? I think Ohio State's like 16 over Wisconsin. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, not odds this big. The Ohio State is certainly understandable. They blew the Badgers out during the regular season, and this is a very, very good Ohio State team. They are a plus 140 favorite to win it all. In other words, if you put up $100, you win 140 if the Buckeyes win it. But the second choice is Clemson at 2-1, and that's even better than the team I like. I'm just biased for Joe Burrow, but LSU is 3-1 to win the title. And of course, as it now stands, unless the top changes, LSU and Clemson would play in the first semifinal. Coach Mendenhall has done an unbelievable job with Virginia. But I have to tell you that team, their season might have been climaxed with the win over Virginia Tech.
That's Apex.
The team that the Cavaliers want to win. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure that the youngsters themselves, they probably idolized Clemson from afar. And Dabo is a little bit ticked off about the fact that he hasn't beaten a team in the top 25. First time I've seen Dabo speak out about things like this.
He's
so
angry.
Clemson could well run it up, and that's why the odds are there, the minus 28. The over-under in that game is 54.
Over.
The highest total that I'm looking at, as I saw some of the changes today, believe it or not, Boise. I don't know what the weather's going to be, but Hawaii is in there to play Boise State. They got a 64 total on that game. So that's way up there. They'll get started with a good one in Santa Clara, Oregon, and Utah.
Big game.
Utah needs a big win going forward, because it figures that LSU, once they knock Georgia out of the top four, then it will be either Utah, Oregon to have a chance. Utah does, or Oklahoma and Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
We look at that Big 12 championship down in Arlington, AT&T Stadium, and the Sooners. I watched the end of that game. I watched the great comeback.
I was there. Yep.
Were you there?
I was.
And,
two
now listen,
weird
Matt
halves.
Rule is my coach of the year.
Mine too.
Even though that,
love
they
it.
Let that one and let that one get away from him. And,
yeah.
There's been money come down on Baylor. That game opened at 10.
Yeah.
And it's come down to 9.
Okay.
The magic number. A lot of folks gobbled it up with Baylor. Give me that 10.
Yeah.
They took it right away, so they lowered it down to 9 right now in that game. That's going to be a heck of a football game.
Could it go lower?
It could go lower.
Yeah.
It sits there, and I'm not sure, you know, they're going to be reluctant to put it back up at 10. That's such a magic number.
Mm-hmm.
They'll sit there at 9, figuring that Sooner money will show because all they have to cover is the 9.
Right.
And 10 is one of the magic numbers that the bettors, they look at the 3, 7, 10, and 3, 7, 10, 14, 17. And those are the numbers that guys who just bet numbers look at. They don't know one team from another. But those are numbers that they'll go on immediately. 3, 7, 10, 14, 17.
Right.
Those are the ones.
Well, and it's and Utah, I think, is the better team out of this group here that we're talking about.
Do you think that? Okay.
I do. I think they're the most complete team, maybe the most complete team after Ohio State. And they don't get much due because they play out west. And, you know, they did lose to USC, which ended up winning 8. So,
and that's the only game I saw them play was against USC.
Did
and
you?
They looked horrible.
Well, Zach Moss
USC.
Didn't play much. Their star running back. Huntley's a great quarterback. They got a great defense. So, you know, and they're playing number 13, Oregon, whereas OU and Baylor are like 6 and 7. So it really favors the Big 12, doesn't it? Unless
no
Utah
question.
Blows out Oregon.
Yeah, that's why Utah has to go for the big score.
Right.
He's a terrific coach up there.
He really is.
He does a great job. BYU has tried very, very hard to coax him back to his alma mater.
Mm-hmm.
He just does, you know, he won't budge. He's got a great situation.
Yeah.
I love him. He's solid. He's not flamboyant, and you're right. They don't get a lot of pub because of where they play. They get overlooked. But you're right. Just given the numbers of where Oklahoma and Baylor stand, you would say the Big 12 has an edge. In fact, I was looking at some guys who are handicapping going forward, and they've got Oklahoma playing Ohio State in the first semifinal.
Okay.
Just simply because of what you're saying.
Yeah, top 10 win.
They get more juice if they beat Are you going down to Arlington to
yes.
to watch the
Yeah, I'll be there to watch that one. How about the Chris Peterson news? You know, retiring at Washington,
you know,
although it may not be a retirement.
Didn't seem like it.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's a retirement, but I know Chris really well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a solid, solid person.
Yeah.
He has a handicapped son.
Right.
And he was always reluctant to leave Boise because there was special education programs there. That the child enjoyed.
Right.
And I'm sure that up in Seattle, because they were favored to challenge this year, I'm sure there's a lot of pressure, kept him away from the family.
Yeah.
And I'll take him at his word that he wants to re-energize himself, and then we'll see where he winds up going forward. But he's a class act in every way. My dealings with him were nothing but the best. I have utmost respect for him, and I will take him. You know, there were some people that said, "Oh, he's going to go to USC." But I said, "Wait a minute. No.
Bad fit.
We're not dealing
with
that kind of an individual here.
Exactly.
Because he could have had one of those big jobs long ago.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He's just. What's the state of the Longhorns, guys?
We were about to ask you.
I'm going to tell you.
You guys know more about that than I do.
I'll tell you what I think, Brent. It's not toxic, but I think Tom Herman is feeling the heat. This fan base, even though they've only won a handful of championships, they think that they should be in that championship talk every year. So the expectations are always big. And so when they won the Sugar Bowl over Georgia, and Sam Ehlinger says to a national television audience, "We're back," and then you could almost see Tom just exhale because he knows the heat would be on. They didn't bring it this year, and so Tom, he gets a mulligan here because of the Sugar Bowl. So he makes sweeping changes, But if it doesn't happen for him in 2020, Brent, I don't know that he'll be the head coach moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, Mac Brown put a little heat on too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Going stepping in there, North Carolina
with nothing and winning six.
Yeah, I mean, you've got done a lot of Texas games, Brent. What would you say right now the national perception and the Vegas perception of the Longhorns?
Well, the Vegas perception is that Herman was great as an underdog coach. I mean, that became an automatic play.
Yes, it did.
From his days at Houston.
Right.
So anytime the Horns were catching points, you know, you don't put them in the elite class with the Ohio State right now, certainly.
Right.
Alabama, even though they got bumped around a couple of times, certainly LSU took it to them in Tuscaloosa in that game. And I think that the Texas fan base, and understandably so, believes that they belong up there
every year,
that they should be. And the Texas fan base reminds me a lot of the USC fan base, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very powerful in the state of Texas, the alumni base. Some people may not know this, but USC controls Los Angeles because of the law school. And you see a whole lot of alums down there. They want to be in the discussion for the national championship. And I'm sure that the same thing goes on with the Longhorns. And I remember I've had a lot of lengthy discussions with Mac Brown. And Kirk, as you know, no one was better politically with that fan base.
He was the best. He was the best.
Than Mac. He was the best that I was ever around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you have to be aware of that. There are certain jobs that you step into. In other words, good luck to whoever follows Nick Saban over at Alabama, okay?
Exactly.
That's going to be one of those jobs. Ohio State's, here's a youngster come in, Coach Day. I didn't know much about him.
Stop.
So I didn't consider the Buckeyes as a national champion
going
forward. But Urban Meyer obviously left great talent in there, and he did a good job.
Yeah.
Very, very good job. Michigan fans are probably the same. They've got a more difficult situation on their hands because,
mm-hmm.
You know, their favorite son is in there. But I would say that the clock is starting to tick on Jim Harbaugh because he hasn't beaten Ohio State in the 5 years that he's been there. And the Wolverine fan base did not expect that going forward. I think the one thing that disappoints me is the fact that Texas A&M and Texas don't play anymore. I love that game.
Tragic.
I wish that they would still do it on Thanksgiving,
me too.
Friday,
mm-hmm.
That they would have it. I just think it would be good for the state, good for the game, good for both schools.
Yep.
Good
for the players.
You just can't put your nose up in the air and walk. We have the players
mm-hmm.
Get to see their friends, former teammates and everything. That's the one rivalry that it really hurts me from an outside point of view because I think that's so great for both fan bases and for the entire state of Texas. I would love to see that.
And it's great for college football.
Football's
all about rivalries,
exactly.
Brent.
Sports
exactly.
All about rivalries. So where's Urban Meyer going to land?
Well, you know, I would have said about a month ago USC, but I'm not so sure. There's a strong move. We can't take him back because of the number of problems he incurred with personnel down in Florida and then with the assistant coach up mm-hmm. in Ohio State. So now I'm not so sure. Now, remember, he threw his hat in the ring publicly. I'm a little bit surprised with the Dallas Cowboys.
That was strange.
But I don't know the context that it was given in.
Yeah.
He basically said if the phone rings, that's the call. That's a call you have to take.
Yeah.
Which
now,
is true.
Now, Urban is, I know Urban, I've worked games with him. And I know him well. He was a minor league baseball player, as a matter of fact. He's an unbelievable competitor, okay? So he's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Because being on television is not going to solve that competitive desire.
Right.
But I never thought the system that he coached. However, if we look around the NFL all of a sudden, and I'm looking at Baltimore, I'm saying, wait a minute, things are changing around this league. You've got to have mobile quarterbacks, okay?
Definitely.
And that's what Urban Meyer developed at Utah with Alex Smith, as a matter of fact. I did
the
bowl game
when
he carved up Pittsburgh down in Arizona. Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
So, yes, it would work. And yes, he is very good with player, and he does identify talent. Man's a competitor through and through. And so there will be, you know, we'll have a half dozen jobs at least open up in the NFL. And now that's out there, every general manager says, wait a minute, I heard what Urban said. I wonder if he, you know, what about this job? Would he do this? He can handle major metropolitan areas. He's good. He's good with the media.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to take care of that part of the equation. So for me, I would say he might land on his feet in the National Football League. And I never would have thought that. I never would have said this.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Before the season. I don't know. He'll wind up back in college.
Yeah.
But I think there's a chance that he could wind up in the National Football
League. Is there less stress because you don't recruit? Recruiting, as you know, is a year-round thing. And NFL's year-round. But is there more stress in NFL or more on college coaches because of all the hats they have to wear?
Off-season, there's far less. Mm-hmm. Okay. On season, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
There is enormous pressure on winning in the National Football League. I mean, enormous pressure. And there's so many eyeballs on you and ownership and general managers. It's a tough on-season job. But the other thing I found out, Kirk, is that people ask me, what's the difference? I said, first of all, they're not similar at all, college football and pro football. I said, they're not even close. I said, you have no idea how much smaller the field is in the professional football than it is in college. They said, what do you mean by that? I said, because the athletes all across the board are so much faster.
Oh, yeah.
They're so much more powerful. Every team in the league right now is dealing with serious injuries, okay? You do not get through the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
And the team that does win the Super Bowl, if you look, they probably have been pretty fortunate in the injury category, okay? They have avoided losing multiple players at certain positions on the field. And so, but certainly in the offseason, when the curtain comes down and you get ready for the draft and you see your buddies and you travel around and you get ready for the training camp and everything, much less stressful than having to go into somebody's living room and battle for a signature to draft someone to sign someone, because recruiting to a large extent is what it's all about, and that's what's kept Saban going down at Alabama. He's a lethal finisher when he goes into talk to mom and pop. He's very good at that. And then in the NFL, but you must be able to identify talent.
Yep. And develop.
You must be able to convince general manager and ownership that you do know what you need in a draft. And, I mean, it's tricky.
Yeah.
And you probably overall are going to walk away with more good money. You know, I just said Coach Rivera, another good friend of mine, he probably is happy that he was turned loose. He'll coach again. Quality guy, done a great job. So
how about Jason Garrett? What are the odds Jason Garrett does not return to Dallas?
I would say it's more than 50%. And I base that on the fact that I don't think the Cowboys are going to get to the NFC Championship.
Mm-mm.
I would think,
right,
just in the back of my mind, what would satisfy general manager and owner? And I would think that Jerry wants to be in the NFC Championship. Basically, the Eagles are saying, will you please win this division?
Put us out of our misery.
What do we have to do? We're going to lose to Miami. We're just going to hand it to you.
Put us out of our misery.
Oh, exactly.
Goodness. Exactly. So you got a Super Bowl pairing that you're looking for right now? Is Baltimore in there?
You know,
San Francisco? Who do you got?
Well, a rematch of San Francisco and Baltimore would be very entertaining. The 49ers got a little bit of a tricky stop this week. You know, game two on the road, you're down in New Orleans to play the Saints. And you've also got the Seahawks looming in that division. So what faces the 49ers have even fallen out of one of the top two seeds, believe it or not. They're number five now because of the Seahawks win on Monday night. So, and they've still got to deal with them in a game two. So it's going to be very difficult for the 49ers. Here in Las Vegas, AFC is favored right now by a field goal, no matter who wins. It opened 2.5, and now it's gone to 3, and the Ravens are the individual team favorite to win the Super Bowl right now. That explosion that's going on with Lamar Jackson has impressed the bookmakers.
It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, can it stay for an extended period with a quarterback exposing himself?
No.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
But right now, it's the best show in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's watching him take flight with that. And he's got a good running back in Ingram.
Yeah.
To offset it. He's got a good tight. The one thing I've noticed about Lamar, that I guess I didn't watch him that much at Louisville, but he has a very, very quick release.
Mm-hmm.
You watch him throw, it's from the ear forward. Not one of those long arm releases.
Yeah.
And if you're accurate with that and find open, you get good vision, and he seems to have, that makes you really, really dangerous against NFL defenses.
Yeah, kind of like throwing darts, It's just gets rid of
it. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
He'd be a great dart thrower in an English pub. You guys know
that. Oh, and you'd be great to have an English pub as well. And boy, we've had fun. Fun. Well, I hope you'll be back. We miss you saying you're looking live wherever you're looking. But I guess you get that in every airport, don't you?
Yeah. I never get it enough, you know?
Yeah.
For an old guy, I mean, I never had to work for a living. I just go to the next game, you know? I mean, it's been a wonderful life. And, meeting folks like you through the years and talking ball is when the Raiders came and made this offer, which was out of the blue. I wasn't expecting to go back to do play by play. I was very comfortable living here in Vegas. I hadn't been with my wife 7 days in a row for goodness gracious decades. She said, Brent, go back.
Get out of the house.
You love
the
I think she really wanted to get me out of the house.
That's all
she did.
I hear that. Well, man, it's been fun. I hope you'll come back soon. And
I will, lad.
And, boy, enjoy these playoff runs and keep it up.
It'll
Thank you,
great.
Brent.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
Take care.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Enjoyed it.
On Second Thought.
That will do it for episode 162 of On Second Thought. Thanks to the legendary broadcaster Brent Musburger for joining us. For the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sed and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.